If you are here for the first time, we've been working on this series. This is our fourth sermon on Meet Job. Meet Job. If you have not been here, please, if you want to hear the first three sermons, you could get it online. You could get it online, so you could go into House of Bread Community Church, and you go into sermons, and you will find Meet Job. You know, we say Job was a man of impeccable character, a man who feared God and shunned evil. Not only that, he was a hard worker and a shrewd investor. But he was also a loving husband and a thoughtful father. Job thought he had life figured out. Everything was working for Job. Even God was bragging about Job. But it took one day for his life to turn upside down. Isn't this true? For you and for me, it can take just one day, one moment, for our life to turn upside down. Whether it's a phone call, a family member died, or got into an accident, or you go to the doctor just for a regular checkup. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our last one, Hannah. We just went for a regular checkup at the doctor, and the doctor says, we got to run right now to Brigham's and Women's. It was emergency, and we've never felt that before. My heart was pumping. I was praying, I was crying to God. It takes just one moment for your life to turn upside down. And the question is, what do you do? How do you behave? What step do you take? The Bible says, with all this, Job shaved his head, he tore his clothes, he bowed down, and he worshiped. He worshiped. And in his worship, this is what he says. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now you're thinking, you know, Job responding this way. You know, do you think that he's, you know, God will send his angels to come down and take care of Job and say, this is a man after my own heart, and crown him with many crowns and honor him? No, things got worse for Job. Things got worse, not better. Things got worse. And his wife came to a point, things were so bad for Job. His wife came to him and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And as I said 2 weeks ago, she didn't say that out of spite. She didn't say it because she didn't love God as much as Job loved God. I find that to be hard for Job to be the man he is, to marry a woman that did not love God. No, she loved God, but you can see when your loved ones are suffering to a point, you just cannot take it anymore. Have you paid attention to Job's conversation with his friends? How much he complained about his life? Oh, may God wipe out the days of my life. You think if he can complain to his friend like this, how much more did he complain to his wife? She is to a point, she just cannot take it anymore. This was this strong man, this hero of mine, the man that I fell in love with, and now he's nothing. Job, let's just call it a quit. Curse God and die. And Job didn't say she's a foolish woman. Job said, you're talking like a foolish woman. And Job said, shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? Shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? You know what Job was saying? Job was saying, lady, let me tell you something. My relationship with God is not transactional. My relationship with God is not about what God can do for me. I love God because of him, not because of his pocket. I love God because of him, not because of what he does for me. Because that is exactly, Job didn't even know that. But that was the exact conversation that Satan was having with God. Saying that, what? You're saying Job loves you. After Satan did the first thing, he came back and God says, hey, come here, man. Have you given up? You see how much Job loved me? Even though you make me stretch out my hand against him. He still held up his integrity. He's still in love with me. And the devil says, you sure about that? I mean, if you spoiled anyone like you spoiled Job, of course they would love you. No, his relationship with you is transactional. Job loves you because of what you do for him, God. And Job didn't even know anything about that. But Job turned to the devil and turned to his wife and said, my relationship with God is not transactional. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I trust him. You know why Job trusts God? You know why Job worshiped God? Job worshiped God and trusts God because he knows that God is sovereign, that God is in charge. That everything, listen to what it says, naked I came, naked I will depart. The Lord gives. He acknowledged that everything he has came from God. And God is sovereign. If he can give it, he is allowed to take it away. Secondly, he knew that God is a present help in time of trouble. God will not leave you nor forsake you when you're in a covenantal relationship with him. And third, God can be trusted. God can be trusted. But today I want to jump a bit. I want to jump from chapter 2 to chapter 42. And in chapter 42 to verse 10, 17, this is what the Bible says. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortune and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted him and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second one Keziah, and the third one Karen Harpuch. Nowhere in all the land where they found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance as along with their brothers. If you were a narrator of the book of Job, after reading chapter 42, it would do you well if you were to end it up with, and Job lived happily ever after. And like a Hollywood blockbuster movie, despite Job's misfortune in chapter 1 and 2, chapter 42, he walks away in the sunset hand in hand with the beautiful girl. Bodies leading into each other with the promise of a beautiful life ahead of them. You can see why this type of movies do so well in the box office. People love a great comeback story, don't we? People love a great comeback story. And that's why I believe for hundreds of years, people will not stop talking about the Red Sox in 2004. When they became World Series champion. Talking about a happily ever after. Talking about a comeback. They were in a drought for 86 years. They could not win a World Series. They were down 3-0. They were playing the arch rival, the mighty Yankees. 26 World Series under their belt. And their number one pitcher had an ankle injury. And against all odds, they came back and win the World Series. Something that no one has ever done, no other team has ever done before, come back from a 3-0 series to win it 4-3. People love a comeback story. Stories like Red Sox Championship, movies like Rocky, and stories like Job leave most of us with a sense of fulfillment and of hope. A feeling like things like eventually will work out for us too. If it works out for them, things might work out for us. However, what we often ignore is this. Most people like a happily ever after story, but not all people. Not all people. There are a great percentage of people, for them, instead of hope, a happily ever after story brings them despair. Bring them into a place of darkness. And it does not matter how you feel about these people, they still exist. In fact, they are very close to us sometimes. Closer than we think. They are members of our churches. They live in our neighborhoods. In fact, sometimes we marry them. We even give birth to some of them. Come on, get this clear in mind. It is not because they can't rejoice in, other stories or they are self-centered, they are selfish. But sometimes it is hard to get over this question. What about me? What about me? What about me who has been in this marriage? From day one, it has been a living hell. God, I hear how you take stories of people who's been a bad marriage, and then you bring this marriage and turn it into golden. What about me? You know, some people at least got the honeymoon. Even at the honeymoon, things were bad. Sometimes I hear the stories as pastors. At the honeymoon, people start fighting. I'm like, what? At the honeymoon? And this person's crying, what about me? Everyone is getting good grades. A young teenager is in high school thinking about, what about me? Everyone is getting good grades. It doesn't matter what I do. I can't seem to scratch the surface. What about me? I hear your good story. But where does that leave me? Another birthday is fast approaching. And I've kept my purity. And everyone is getting married. What about me? What about me, God? What do you do when you're watching? You know, you took the children. You didn't send them to public school. You put them in a private school. You brought them to church all your life. You did devotionals. You kneel down and pray with them every night. And now they are older. They bring nothing but trouble. While you're watching people who didn't even do anything with their children, and they are going to church while yours is not going to church, while yours is living a life on the outside. Asking God, what about me? And as long as these people can remember, darkness, despair, hopelessness has always been their normal. You see, when you get into dark time, when you get into despair, it's a little bit abnormal for most of us. But for some people, it is their normal. You know, Andy Stanley have a sermon he preached I really love. It says, the new normal. This is your new normal. Things not going to change. You're not going to be able to fix it. There are people all their lives, they've been living in this normal, this despair, this darkness. It's not something that just happened to them. That has been their life. This is their normal. And then they look at the foreseeable future. It looks like nothing is going to change. Unlike you, they don't sleep at night. When you sleep, you have dreams. When they sleep, they have nightmares. All their lives, they have been hearing happily ever after stories. And for longer they can remember, they have been singing this song. You know it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others die at calling. Do not pass me by. And they cry out to him and say, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Why on others dieth calling? Do not pass me by. Man, this is why I love the hymns. The many of the songs that I hear today, they are written because these people had some great classes and know how to hit the right chord and strike the right chord. But you can't tell me when you read this, this is not a life story. Pass me not, O humble Savior. Pass me not. While you're calling others, while you're taking care of others, while everybody is having a happily ever after, it seems like you're passing me by. You don't see me. They have been Christian for such a long time, and I've been waiting on God for such a long time, and everyone number has come up somewhere, somehow. But God's never get to theirs. In fact, they have heard preachers say to them, it is because of your sin. You hear it on TV all the time, or maybe churches you go to. You must have done something wrong for your life to be the way it is. And even though you are a Christian, you must have done something wrong. Sometimes no one says it in their face, but they can hear the shh, shh, shh while they're passing by. And when they hear a success story, they want to be happy for that person. But that story brings them in despair, in a dark place. What about me? What about me, God? Do not pass me by. You see, as preachers, our tendency is to jump, like I'm doing right now. Jump from chapter 1 and 2 to chapter 42. But between chapter 42, chapter 2 and 42, there is chapter 3 and 41. People need to hear about it. We need to spend some time and let them know, yes, Job had a happily ever after. But chapter 3 to 41 is very long. Chapter 3 to 41 were not those great songs he was singing before. The Lord gives and the Lord take away. It wasn't, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those chapters were not. They were, I wish I was never born. While it may be okay for most of us to jump to chapter 42, for some, all their life, they have been living in the middle of chapter 3 and chapter 41, and they need to hear something. God have to have something to say to them. Do you know chapter 3 to 41 is more than 90% of Job's life? From the time we heard the story to the time the story ends, 90% of the entire story, Job was living in despair, in darkness, in doomsday. Job's misfortune came quickly. His restoration also came quickly. But his days of suffering lasted years, years, years. And if you're here this morning, and your life song is, Savior, do not pass me by. You want to be happy. You want to be happy for others in their happy story, in their happily ever after. But even when you smile, when you get home, you crawl into your closet, not to pray, but in despair. This morning, God wants me to tell you a few words about this. Number one, suffering is not always the result of sin. Prosperity is not always the result of righteousness. In fact, for both of us, those of us that God has been doing the thing that he was doing in the life of Job, in our lives, and sometimes we think it's because of us. It's because how we serve God. You know, we do the right thing. We go to church. We serve. We give our tithes. and God blesses us. Isn't that what they tell us? Sow a seed. Sow a seed. And then there's going to be green all over your house. That is not true. It's not always true. You can throw seed, you can sow seed all you want, but does not mean you are not going to suffer in this life. Your suffering is not because of your sin. When you're in relationship with God, you take the good, you take the bad. It's the fact of life. Remember what I told you last time about the movie, Princess Bride? You're honest. Life is filled with pain. Anyone who tells you different is trying to sell you something. This life we're living, this earth that is full with sin, we will have pain. It's not because you sin. It's not always. Yes, some of us suffer because of sin. But you don't always suffer because of sin. And you don't always rejoice because you're righteous. In Job chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Job says, consider now. Job's friend said to him, consider now. Who being innocent has ever perished? Were the upright ever destroyed? I have observed those who plot evil and those who sow trouble reap it. But in other words, Job, come on, man, don't act innocent. You must have done something wrong. You had to do something wrong. There is no way your life can turn from where it was to where it is right now, and you did nothing wrong. Jeff said, come on, man, you're my friend. My integrity is at stake. Suffering is not always. If you think that you suffer or you have this illness or because you've done something wrong, I want you to know it's not always so. It's not always so. Yes, some people do suffer because of sin. But suffering is not a direct result of sin. It's not because you sin. And prosperity is not always the result of because I'm righteous. Trouble does not only come to those who sin. You can do everything right and darkness comes to you. Job's friend said to him, how painful or honest words. This is what they're telling him. Well, when Job says, come on, man. You know it's not like that. My integrity at stake. Come on, Job. How painful or honest words. You've never met people who has this slogan. Well, it's the truth. Just because it's the truth doesn't mean you have to say it, by the way. The Bible says not every truth is good to say. Even the truth. But you're not God. You can't just because somebody's going through something and come to the conclusion because, oh, well, they have to sin. It's because of what they've done. If God allowed people to come and look into your closet, you have a lot there to suffer if that was the truth. Because I know I have a lot to suffer in my relationship with God. There's a second thing. It is not unusual to be a faithful Christian, a Bible practitioner, a prayer warrior, and live in darkness for 90% of your life. It's not unusual. It happened to Job. It happens to Moses. It happens to David. It happens to Joseph. All these guys were upright. Job was just had a dream. God gave him a great revelation. I'm gonna make your brothers bow before you. And soon to find himself in a pit. Soon to find himself in prison. in a dungeon. Wait a minute, God, didn't you just say that you're going to raise me up and my brother's going to bow down before me? A long time. It did happen. But it took a long time for it to happen. God sends to David's house and says, David, I've anointed you as king. Saul is no longer king. And then David is happy, but soon to find himself living in rocks because he's hiding from the king. His life was in danger. He was hungry. He was by himself. He was in despair. It happened to the best of us. It's not unusual. Job says, like a slave who longed for the shadow, and like hireling who looks for his wages, so I'm allotted months of emptiness and nights of misery are apportioned to me. You hear it? That's what those days could do to you. But it does not mean that you're out of God's grace because you're suffering, because calamity have come your way, because you're dealing with an illness. I love this Casting Crown song. I am sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped my tears away and step and save the day. And once again, I say amen, but it's still raining. I still have trouble, God. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper to the rain that says I'm with you. I can't even hear your voice. Have you ever taken a trip to the Psalms? It's one of the Psalms where the guy says, God, darkness is my closest friend. What? Darkness is my closest friend because I don't hear you, you don't speak, you say nothing. It seems like I'm in this all by myself. My friend forsake me, you forsake me. Darkness is my closest friend. And this guy was the leader of the worship team. And he lived right before God. But yet he had night of despair. But what I like about the chorus, Casting Crown, is I will praise you in this storm. I will praise you in the storms. I will lift my hands. You are who you are no matter where I am. In every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. Shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? Third. Living in darkness does not mean God has abandoned you. It does not mean you are not loved by God. Far be it. In Job chapter 42, verse 7, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So this entire time they were having these conversations, the deep conversation, and Job was spending days and months and years in the sin, crying and talking about, I'd rather be dead than living right now. And he thought God was nowhere. God was listening. Did you see that? God had a recollection of the conversations. He hears what people are saying about you. You may not hear the shh, but he hears them. He's not far. He's a present help in time of your troubles. He promised to not leave you, nor forsake you. You know, as I often do, quote Tony Evans, when you're in relationship with God, it looks like you. It's either you're coming out of a storm, you're in a storm, or you're going toward a storm. But the good thing is to know that He is always with you in the storm. He is always with you. In Job chapter 31, verse 20 to 26, Job says, Job reached to a point, he says, I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly, God. With the might of your hand, you attack me. You see what I like about that story? There is not one place. The only person in this story who blamed the devil is God. I've been to churches where they spend more time talking to the devil or about the devil than they do God. Well, let's rebuke the devil. Devil, take this devil, get out of here. What is he doing here anyway? Well, last night, the devil was with me. It seems like the devil. No, they never blame the devil. Listen to what Job says. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. He knew that God, the devil has no power over you unless God allows him. God is sovereign. The devil will come and he wants to do things to you and God will call him. And then God has to give him permission. Okay, well, you want to do this to James? Okay. You want to do this to Alan? Okay. Go ahead. But I'm telling you, devil, his relationship with me is not because of what I give him. It's because of what we have together. And it's hard. Because you can't see. Did you hear that conversation? Did Job hear that conversation? No. But God did. He was part of it. And he's in charge of you. He's in charge of me. He doesn't even have to tell you and me anything. And he did not tell Job anything. The only thing you need to know is to rest in the trust that you have in him. No matter what's going on in your life. He says, you snatch me up and drive me before the wind. You toss me about the storm. I know you will bring me down to death. The way things look, God, it looks like this is the end for me. To the place appointed for all the living. You know, I heard a pastor named Pastor Solini. I used to work with him and Pastor Joe worked with him as well. He was preaching at a funeral. He said, you know what? We don't really have a problem with death. We all know we're going to die. The problem is when. We don't know when. And that's the problem. Because we all know we're going to die. I got news for you. This body is decaying. And I should tell you, because those shoulders and the back, it's no good. They're gone. Can't even play a little basketball anymore. It's decaying. I've made peace with that. But it's always the question when. That's what gives us trouble. It's like, yeah, to the place appointed for all living, I know God. But it seems like you want to do it now. Surely no one lays a hand on a broken man when he cries for help in distress. God, you're being unfair. I'm already down. Do you have to go that far? Have I not wept for those in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? Yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then come darkness. This is the last thing I want to tell you. Job complains. If you, please do me a favor. Go home and listen to Job's conversations. Wait, let me tell you this before I say what I'm going to say here. No matter how much Job complained, no matter what happened to Job, Job stayed with God even when he was getting nothing out of the relationship. This is the key. Can you stay with God even when you feel like you're getting nothing out of the relationship? I mean, at the beginning, God was just pouring so much blessing on him. And now it's been days and months and years, nothing out of the relationship. Nothing from God. Can you stay with God? Can you stay with God when you're getting nothing, as far as you know, as far as you know, from God? Shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? So this is what has always bothered me in this entire story. Job chapter 42, 7. This is what happened. The Bible says, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job's and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourself. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept the prayer. Hi, God, you weren't listening to those conversations? Did you hear how much Job complained? God says, Job honored me. This tells me something about God's grace. God doesn't mind that you complain. Job was complaining to God in prayer. It's okay for my son to tell me if he displeases with something, as long as he's doing it in a conversation with me. Job was praying this entire time with God, to God. God knows when you're in despair, you're going to complain. But take it to the Lord in prayer. Here goes another hymn for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry some things, everything, your complaint, your joy, whatever it is. Go to him in prayer. Everything. So he's not afraid of your complaint. He's not even afraid of your doubt. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The terrible things Job have said. But then God said, Job has honored me. Yeah, we're dropping in his conversation with his father. This is a personal conversation. This is him crying to Abba, Father. Daddy, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong to deserve this? You know me. I didn't even hear you bragging about me, but if you look at my life, you could brag about me. I've done everything you ask. It's okay to go to God. Everything. Everything. Your marriage life? Have trouble? Take it to the Lord in prayer. You confused about your career? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too big. God does not put an earring ear so you could, He could listen to you. The answer is all Job's complaints were prayers. He said, I don't understand you, God. I am angry with you, God. But he never walked away from God. Job stayed with God even when he was getting nothing out of the relationship. And when you go to the darkest of times and you feel God is not there, you can complain to God. You can make your request to him in prayer. Everything you can bring to him in prayer. You see, throughout this entire ordeal, it is like God is saying to Job, okay, now we're going to figure out when you are in a relationship with me. Is it because you want to get me to serve you or you want to serve me? Because if life happened and you suffer and you run away from your relationship with God, it's because you want God to serve you. But can you praise God in the storm? And when the answer is, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. When the answer is, okay, I'm going to serve you, even in the storm. It turns you into a creature of steel. That neither despair nor darkness can subdue. Yet I will hope in him. Know this for sure. Your darkness is not permanent. It is temporary. You may not feel God, but he is there with you. You may not see his hand, but he is at work. He has not abandoned you. Could Job have imagined that 4,000 years later, his life story is still alive. His suffering is still helping you and me. Millions, if not billions of people. Didn't you say you wanted to serve God? Can he choose however he wants you to serve him? Can your story be a testimony for somebody else? There are two people that goes to this church. Sometimes when I see them, I'm like, wow, they have a great relationship. And one day they share their life story with us. And I'm like, whoa, that's where it was? And it blesses me. Because you don't know where somebody's been. And you don't know what God is going to do with your story. Your suffering. There was a woman with a chronic illness. Yet she continued strong in her service and commitment to the kingdom of God. And she often asked, does it hurt? Does it hurt? Why are you doing so much while you have this chronic disease? Does it hurt? In her discomfort, she would turn to the person and said, yes, it does hurt, but nothing that the resurrection can cure. Yes, life hurt, but life cannot bring you anything that the resurrection can't cure. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. There are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to prepare you a place where there is no more hurt. No more sorrows. No more despair. No more darkness. Whatever you're going through, whatever I'm going through, it's nothing that the resurrection can cure. If you make the Lord your portion, no matter how long you've been in your suffering, you will have a happily ever after. Because there is nothing the resurrection can cure. Yes, He is our strength. Strength like no other. The disciples were in the middle of a storm, and they were professional fishermen. The storm was so bad that they started crying. And they said, Lord, you're going to let us drown? What kind of God is this? That I'm about to drown and He's sleeping. I hear nothing from Him. But what they didn't understand is that Jesus was in the boat. You can't drown when Jesus is in the boat. When you're in the boat with Him. Yes. You may be afraid. It may look bad. But at any time He can come into your life and say, quiet, be still. And speak to the problems in your life. Speak to your sickness and say, quiet and be still. You know why? Because He's God. He is sovereign. And more importantly, He loves you. He loves you. If you know nothing else, sing like the little children. Jesus loves me. This I know. This morning, before we end, we're going to pray. I ask you to pray for Angie. She requested your prayer. She's at work this morning. And I know there are many other people here that are struggling. Why don't we do that this morning before we go? Is there anyone that is looking for prayer this morning as we pray for Angie and Richard Bowman? Anyone? Could raise your hand. Yes. All right, Sue. Yes. Hallelujah. Could you sing that song again? Like no. Come on, come forward. Let us pray for, let's pray with you. You are my strength. Yes, Lord. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Father, we bless your name, oh God, this morning. Father, we have nowhere else to go that we can find success but in you, oh God. Father, this morning, we come with expectancy in our heart, knowing that when your children cry, you hear. That in a twinkling of an eye, you show up because you're present help in time of trouble. Lord, I lift Angie before you. I lift Richard before you. Sue before you, oh God. Lord, there is nothing too big for you or nothing too small. Is there anything impossible for you, oh God? Your children are suffering, oh God. We are asking you to intervene, oh God. Intervene on their behalf, oh God. intervene in their behalf, oh God. Father, we know at any time you can speak to their storm. At any time you can speak, Father God, to their trials and say, be still, quiet. Father, we trust you. We trust that you're not going to leave us now. The song said, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord and trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. He's not failing me, and he will not fail. So, Father, we are trusting in you to do exceedingly, Father God, in Sue's life. Father, all her troubles are in your hands. Father, speak to her troubles, oh God. Because you can and because you're God. Father, I pray for strength for her, oh God. But most of all, Father God, I pray no matter what happens, Father God, she could remain at your feet. That she does not run away from you, but she runs towards you, Father. So, Father, this morning, we pray for anyone, Father God, who is here, Father God, that is going through. That as a human being, I know nothing about it. But you know. They may not say anything, but you know. Father, right now, speak to their heart. Right now, Father God, while they are here, Father, I pray that you take care of the trouble at home. While they are here, Father God, I pray that you touch them. You can make them whole right here, right now, oh God. Oh Father, we trust you. We trust you. You've laid your life for us and there's nothing else you will not do for us, oh God. And we trust that. So Father, bring healing in this place. Comfort in this place. Peace that surpasses all understanding in this place. And may our people rejoice. May they have hope, Father God, while they are in the storm. May they have joy, Father God. May the rest, Father God, because they know they are in your hand, that 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 at their right hand, that it cannot destroy them. Because you have refined them and they are now made of steel that they can stand and will stand because of your strength. So be with us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He makes your path straight. God bless you.